How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oversee, how great, how great, how great is our God. How great, how great, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great. Sing, hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Brother Eli, is he ready? Amen. You can be seated, please.
God bless you, saints. I have a short testimony first. As you know, our baby boy has come. And what is special about it is that I spoke with some brethren about the situation as it was going on. For the last few weeks of the pregnancy, the doctors have just noticed that her liver was producing some, I don't know how to call it, osteo something. It's a medical term. But it was too much, and it was not good for the baby. So they started monitoring very closely. She was going every 2 days to the hospital. And at the end, they decided that they had to bring the baby out before the due date because it was no good for him. She was due on the 2nd of January. But I was not very... I didn't like that because the cesarean sections and all the stuff. So I didn't want that. So I asked a few brothers, Brother Andrew, Brother Wilmos, and we put it in prayer. We are supposed to go on Thursday. They asked us to bring everything, so they'll do the test, and if everything is as they think, they're going to bring the baby out. So it was Wednesday that we prayed, and I said to God that I don't want that to happen. I want that baby to come naturally. So even though the due date was still to come two more weeks, but that night on Wednesday, where our appointment at 12 o'clock the next day, on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, the labor started. And this is our fourth child, but this was the very quickest labor ever. Well, it started at 3 o'clock. At 7, half 7, the child was born. So around 12, those same people that were expecting to do the cesarean, they came. They said, oh, what happened? They were so amazed that they couldn't understand what happened. So God is real. He understands our thoughts. He sees what we think. And we thank God for that. We sang it last week with the family, so I just want to sing it again. This time in French.
Il est l'agneau de Dieu. 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 Devant le trône de Dieu, nous chanterons sa gloire. Devant le trône de Dieu, nous chanterons sa gloire. Il est le roi des rois. 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 Devant le trône de Dieu, nous chanterons sa gloire. Devant le trône de Dieu, nous chanterons sa gloire. He is the King of Kings. 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 Before the throne of God, we'll sing his holy name. Before the throne of God, we'll sing his holy name. He is the Lord of Lords. 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 Before the throne of God, we sing His holy name. Before the throne of God, we'll sing His holy name.
Sorry for the voice.
Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, yes, I know, I am a temple. Yes, I know, I am a temple. I am a temple of the Lord. Full of praise, full of power, full of glory. Full of praise.
Amen. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister, are you? Oh. Last night I had an interesting dream. Me, I'm not like the pastors. When I hear things, I hear them in music. Last night I had the strangest dream I've ever had. And I heard a song. It was so powerful. Because when I hear everything, I be listening to the rhyming. And in, that's how I see it. That's how the Lord has made some of us. And was so powerful. But please, God, we'll pray God will bring it out. Amen. 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 Thanks to Brother Crosby. I had a good dream last night. Amen.
God bless you. Sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name? For the things you have done, all my words could not tell, not even in part of the depths of love that is owned by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you paid a great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on the cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beacon me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said, what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? All my words could not tell, not even in part, love that is owned by this thankful heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name? Could not tell, not even in part, of the depth of love that is owned by this thankful heart. By this thankful heart. By this thankful heart.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's stir up the gifts amidst us. Thanks to Brother Joseph yesterday, helped us. He played very well. Amen. There's a lot of talent in our midst. The other day we were sitting in the house and Joshua took the guitar stand and he just started all of a sudden. I didn't know he could sing in Shona. He just started, Mazua, oh, se, makatendeka. So we were all laughing. We've got a video of it. We'll keep it in the treasury box. Hopefully, you won't turn to the worldly songs tomorrow. By God's grace, we keep them in prayer. Let's sing, to God be the glory. No, He has done great things. Amen. He has done great things. Oh, let's thank Him this morning. Hallelujah. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, let's bless His holy name this morning. Holy, He has done great things. He has done great and still wants to do more. He has done great. He waiting for you and me. He has done great things. Blessed holy name, our Lord Adonai, above all the earth, above all the earth, thou art exalted far above. Oh, thou, O Lord, my Lord, oh, thou, O Lord, art I above the earth. Thou art exalted far above, oh, God.
Let's exalt Him this morning. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh God, I exalt. Oh, we exalt You, Lord. I exalt Thee. I exalt Thee. Oh God, He has done great things to us now. Oh, He has done great things. Great things. Jesus, He has done great things. This is who He's all, His holy name.
He's done great things, friends.
Amen. Ah, friends, what the world calls great, God calls foolishness. But to us, He's done great things. Blessed items. Blessed to be in His house. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name, I Bless Your Name. Let's enter into worship as we come now to the dedication services today. We had a wonderful time yesterday. My, that was real wonderful stuff. May the Lord continue to build our faith, the 7 steps to perfection, to bring us to that place, to break right into that capstone.
Amen.
And we won't be here no more. That's our desire.
Prisoner's chains
with bleeding stripes,
Paul and Silas prayed that night. Oh, they prayed, and in their pain they began to sing the chains. Oh, their chains were loosed and they were free. Oh, let Him loose your chains this morning. I bless Your name. I bless. Oh, Lord, I bless Your name. I give You honor. I give You praise. You are the light, the truth. So we define, so we do.
Who is singing here today and saying, Lord, kumbaya? Someone's praying, Lord. Kumbaya, oh Lord, kumbaya.
Someone's singing, Lord, kumbaya.
Someone's singing, Lord, kumbaya. Oh, someone's singing, Lord, kumbaya.
That he came by last night.
Amen.
Amen. Our little Rachel's here today. She's the fruits of yesterday's message. She was so sick. Brother George was there at our house yesterday, and we're so glad that she's well today. The Lord really touched her. We thank the Lord for that. He's faithful.
Amen.
And he's good.
Amen.
And he's mindful of us. To say to Brother Greg, welcome to fatherhood, brother. Brother Greg's wife. Amen. That's wonderful. We want to just give ourselves over now to the word. So grateful that Brother Crosby did a wonderful introduction yesterday. Don't think we can say too much today. So privileged to have Brother George here with us today.
Amen.
And we really ask him to take his liberty in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the scripture. And then give you the sweet release to enjoy the comfort of your seats. Then pass a few comments while I remain standing.
Amen.
If the technicians can give me these three scriptures,
amen.
The rest I'm going to quote, and if needs be, I may say, give me this one.
Yes,
let us open our Bibles to Genesis 14:20. My title is going to be The 1/10 Bride Mystery Under the Seventh Seal.
Amen.
The 1/10 Bride Mystery Under the Seventh Seal. We are reading Genesis 14:20. Abraham and Melchizedek.
Amen.
And blessed be the Most High God, whom last night we heard, is not in heaven. Deity is in you, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abraham, gave him Melchizedek, tithes of all. When you read such scriptures, some people tense up. Please don't. Second scripture is Malachi 3, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Some people are brave. Some people are daring. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? They play ignorance. And God says, in tithes and offerings. Our third scripture for a witness, Leviticus 27:31. Leviticus 27:31. This scripture, I am sad to announce, is the most unpopular. But I was blessed last night when our brother Crosby preached that Jesus prepared to say certain things. Jesus said it anyhow. Amen. The prophet prepared to drop certain things and he dropped them anyhow. As long as it's part of the word, the bride does not shirk from it. And if a man will at all redeem, hold back, keep back any of his tithes, there's a penalty. He shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. May God add blessing to the reading of his word. Let us have a short word of prayer. Lord, it is true that we may sing too much, we may talk too much, we may even eat too much, sleep too much, but your prophet said, we are never out of order when we pray. As for me, Lord, I have need of thee. Unlike Samson, who said, I will get up and shake myself as before. He depended on his past tense experiences and didn't realize he needed God presently. I will not depend on the many years of my ministry, but I'll say, Lord, kumbaya, I have need of thee this morning. May you be the transmitter and may you be the one transmitting. Come and take your word and minister it to the heart of your bride. Amen. We pray a special blessing upon our beloved pastor, Brother Andrew Murray, his wife, Sister Gitana, the family, and all the help and the government that runs this part of the body of Christ. Amen. Special blessing upon Brother Crosby Maliku and Sister Flo. Lord, upon our precious brother Thomas Brenner McKinstry, his family and church and all, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall agree by saying, Amen. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats. Whenever you read scriptures of this nature, like I've just said, brothers, make sure that their wallets are safe. Sisters, make sure that the checkbook is zipped up. And those who may have coins in their cars, make sure that it's electronically locked. However, this morning, we are going to be taking an angle which is not the usual Creflo Dollar angle. It's not the usual T.D. Jakes angle and all your prosperity gospel preachers. We are going to follow in the line of the last two ministers who acquitted themselves handsomely. Amen. Proof of it is, I hardly slept. They set such a standard that all the messages I brought along, it was like, no, not this one, no. That one won't fit, no, not that one. Ministers know what I mean. Amen. But I know they have prayed for me. I wish to say that when you speak about tithing, the angle has been all along money saying goodbye to you and saying hello to the preacher, so they think. So much so that even men who don't pay tithes, they want to break away and start a church. They think it's easy. They think starting a church is just collection. Far it be from it. However, we are going to ask ourselves the question, so why did God require that if He blesses your field, whatever it be, corn, barley, fruit trees, whatever, He says the first fruit of it, the first one-tenth is mine, saith the Lord. Later down the road, He says, it's the Levites. There must be a reason. There must be a deeper reason. I often say that three wise men, when they came, each one had a gift appropriate to the circumstance, to the hour, the time. Our gifts as given of the Lord testified yesterday. They preached according to what's needed. Faith is what we need because we are in that rapture, folks. The prophet says it's a gradual thing. The rapture is not as sudden as Pentecostals used to preach it. You see, the Messiah didn't come as an adult. He was born a child and he grew into it. Brother Branham didn't come as an adult seventh messenger. He had a birth date. He grew into it. So the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've also been growing into it. But very soon it'll be, this body will be no more. Allow me to start with three quotations. If I get warmed up along the way, bear with me. In Perseverance, Southgate, California, 1962, June the 23rd, paragraph 120, the prophet says, now, it's just a gift. If God will trust me in that position, I'm just a mouthpiece. But these men are gifted. These men are scholars. They've got training. They know how to put it together. I just have to splatter it out there anyway, just by inspiration. But they know how to set it together and make sense to it. That's what I saw yesterday. Another one is Birth Pains. The old book is page 27. The new book is paragraph 173. It says, these men, and I've seen them yesterday, if they pick up this, they can make more sense to it. I just lay the seed. I hope they make it come to life. And they did. There's so much going on, brothers and sisters, world events, blood moons. But as Paul said, time will fail me. You see, the prophet of God says, in this day, this scripture, page 9, old book, new book, paragraph 57, he says, scripture has a compound meaning and a compound revelation. In all my life, I never heard a preacher put it that way. Then he quotes Hosea, out of Egypt, I call my son. He says, you run the margin with that scripture, it's Moses taking them out of Egypt. 800 years or so later, it's Mary, Joseph, taking Jesus also out of Egypt. Marvelous. And the prophet then continues to prove to us that scripture has a compound meaning when he preaches on communion. He says communion is not eating the bread so much and drinking the wine. Corinthians can tell you better. They would eat and drink until they were drunk. He says the deeper and compound meaning of communion is to commune with God and God speaks back. Yes. Then it takes the scripture in Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. We all ascribe it to Mary. He says, oh no, in the super sign. He confirms what Brother Crosby preached last night. He says the super sign is the virgin bride today. Amen. Conceiving of the seed word from the mouth of the angel, the seventh one.
Yes.
Then he goes on, he says, Antichrist today, as much as we know, it's some man sitting in Rome. He says, but it is also whosoever among us that does not believe that God is in the people. Says, that's Antichrist too. Can you see the compound application? But the best I've ever heard is when he takes Romans chapter 7 in invisible union.
Yes.
He says the first husband of sin has to die.
Yeah.
Whereas before that we were just holding the sisters in prison, which I'm not saying they are free if their husband is still alive. But I'm saying we were preaching it only that way.
Yeah.
Until a prophet brought the compound and deeper meaning.
Yes. Yeah.
Being a pastor over almost 1,000 people, we have youth about 200 or more. And don't you think youth aren't listening when you preach?
Amen.
As regarding Romans 7, the woman is free only when the husband be dead.
Mm.
The young sister started asking, Pastor, so what happened to Mrs. Enoch? Was she free to remarry? Now, if you think being a pastor is just collecting tithes, how would you answer? Come on now. Because we make it look easy. But there are certain parts of it that you wish, when it comes your way, Lord, what am I doing here? However, the scripture is clear. The scripture is pertinent. If he be dead.
Yes.
And Enoch did not die.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you see, the prophet of God says, if you say you have a revelation, and it does not run from Genesis to Revelation, he says, look again. So what we're going to do in about an hour five, an hour 10 minutes, is just take you on a Bible cruise.
Amen.
You know what the word Bible stands for? B-I-B-L-E?
Yes.
Wonderful, isn't it?
Amen.
Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Yeah.
Mm.
It's to do with preparation before leaving earth, you see. Those 66 books. Could you refresh my mind, my brother Crosby?
Basic instructions
before leaving earth. Hallelujah. So I'm going to be a little slower this morning. I'll pick up speed this afternoon. I'll be very short this evening because the Lord will do a short, quick, powerful work. But this morning I just feel to give a little teaching because it's a dedication Sunday morning.
Yes.
You see, tithes are first recorded in the book of Genesis.
Yes.
If you look at the word Genesis in English, it's got gene.
Yeah.
The beginning of it, the seed chapter,
yeah.
Genesis. Hence God said, whatever I bless you with, the seeds of the field, whatever. And God proved that even with birth, the first child is God's tenth. How so? Mary's first virgin child died on Calvary. You see that? God kept his own word. Not only taking seeds from you, but he brought it up to the human level. So, tithes being spoken of first in the book of Genesis and last and in between, but last in Malachi in the Old Testament. So God covers the whole spectrum of the Old Testament by beginning in Genesis, referring to it in between, and then reminding them at the end. Then crossing over into the new. And some people are saying, oh yeah, thank you, Brother George. We are so happy that you pointed out it's an Old Testament thing. You just haven't read enough. Jesus then continues in the New. He said, I know that you pay tithes, but he calls it common and nice. He says, and you do well, but you have left out the weightier matters of the law. So Jesus didn't cancel it, because you're going to see the mystery is deeper. Then Paul comes along. He says, upon the first day of the week, you're going to find out why, because that's the eighth day. Bring together as God has prospered you. Why is he saying particularly on the first day of the week? Because the bride, hallelujah, though bodily we are in Laodicea, spiritually we're in the eighth day. Spiritually we're in the Abrahamic age. Spiritually we're in the rapture season. Yeah, we're in the first day of the week. That's why the prophet announced it when he said, Shalom, little bride. Good morning. Amen. A new day has arisen.
Yes.
Somebody asked the prophet a question. We are still laying a foundation. It is COD, conduct, order, and doctrine. It's page 604. It's question 136. Brother Branham, can a Christian go to heaven if he or she does not pay tithes? I love the wisdom. He gives it a yes and a no, but when you read on, he's actually going to give you an answer. He says, now, that's one that I could not answer. And many people love it right there, they stop. But let's read on. He says, now, that's one that I could not answer scripturally. Now, I could say yes or no to that. But I'm going to prove to you, he's going to say yes. You can't go to heaven if you break one word. He says, I could say yes or no to that, but I do believe, there's the answer, that every Christian is obligated to pay tithings because it's a commandment of the Lord. And blessed are they who do all his commandments, that they may have a right to enter into life, the tree of life. I do believe that tithe paying is essential to a Christian experience. You see, tithing is recorded in Genesis 14 before the law.
Yes.
So tithing is not by law. Tithing is not by force. It's by grace.
Yes.
You do it by revelation because you appreciate the grace of God. But along the way, we're going to show you what you are symbolizing by it. You see, just like the Bible says, water baptism does not save you. It's an outward symbol signifying something has happened inside.
Yes.
But you can't say, well, I don't have to be baptized because it's an outward symbol. It's part and parcel of the salvation plan.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
I wish to ask you a question, very simple question, teacher to class. Melchizedek came down as that great theophany. He took human flesh in Genesis 18, but over here, he came down as that great theophany. Theophanies don't eat. Theophanies don't need material things. So how is it that when Abram gave tithes, the tithes went with Melchizedek? He did not leave them behind. Why did he take them? If material things do not please theophanic beings, it's because it's a type and a symbol. You're going to see who is this Melchizedek in our day. He's not going to leave some people behind. There are some people he's going to take away with him. Allow me to slow down. I'm usually a very excitable person. And I mess up the program of God because I like to get there too quick. Let us begin with a few types. There are hundreds of them. We've just selected a few. Where God begins to slot in shadows of tithing. Shadows of restoration. The first one, not that it's the first one, it's just the one I've picked. Is Genesis 32:14. Jacob had stolen his brother's blessings. Jacob is returning And his brother is going to meet him. Jacob is unsure whether it will mean life or death. Watch what Jacob does. He takes 20 he-goats and 200 she-goats. Come on now, mathematicians. What is 20 over 200? One-tenth. You see what he's doing? He's restoring. Tithing is symbolic of restoration. What he does again, he takes 20 rams over 200 ewes and he presents them. 20 over 200. It's one thing. We quickly take it to the tabernacle plan, and God says to Moses, you build that tabernacle exactly as you saw the vision of it in heaven. Hence the prophet typing Moses in our day says, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. You see, inside, listen, in the holiest of holies, God says, I want an omer full of manna. You know what omer is in Hebrew? One tenth. Very nice name to give to a firstborn son. My omer. My one tenth. Strength. That came out of me. Mm. Well, you say, I love what a preacher said yesterday. It was Brother Crosby. We sit back and let Satan run ahead of us. The Muslims are calling their sons Omar. Omar Sharif. Where do you think they got Omar from? They took it from the Bible. Omar. We are sitting back. We are looking for names like Brad Pitt. From the pit of hell. Angelina Jolie. Rihanna. They don't even know what Rihanna means. When the prophet says, give your children Bible names. And I'm not saying if you have a name that's not in the Bible, as long as it has a good meaning like Kudzai. Good name. You may not find Kudzai in the Bible, but the meaning is biblical.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Tatend.
Yes.
Tendai. Mm. Buy a donkey. If you're running short of Bible names, name him Thank You, Lord. Amen. Omar. God is saying in type, when you come past the outer court, your justification, you come into the holy place, your sanctification, baptism, or beg your pardon, outer court, out there, justification, you come to the altar and the laver, sanctification, you come into the holy place, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He says, don't stop there. I want you into the holiest of holies. I want you inside there, where there's one tent. So, giving you one-tenth every Sunday is not some scheme to get you out of pocket. You are testifying that my destination, my aim, is to end up in the holiest of holies. I'm symbolized by that never-ending bread, never-ending word that's in the holiest of holies. Now, it doesn't end there. Tabernacle students know that the entire length from east to west was 100 cubits. But as you come into the area of the holiest of holies, it was 10 cubits. What is 10 over 100? So now when you come into the holiest of holies, you are in the area one-tenth of the whole length. What are you saying? You are saying, I am that one-tenth.
Amen.
I've arrived.
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with your money.
Amen.
And by the same token, tabernacle students know that the breadth was 50 cubits. So if you're in the holiest of holies, and the breadth is 10 as well, what is 10 over 50? One-fifth. And God says, you pay your tithes, and if you fail to pay them on time, you add 1/5. So God is not talking money. God is saying, I am symbolizing that I want people, by faith, as we've heard, to come all the way and end up in the holiest of holies, length, breadth. Whatever you move, whether you move this way, you move that way, you are comfortable, you are the 1/10, 1/5. You are in the holiest of holies. Oh, this is going to be beautiful. That's why when the sin offering is required, if my brothers can give me Leviticus 5:11, and while they're finding Leviticus 5:11, the little bit of Hebrew that we are picking up, we've come to learn that Levi means heart. Amen. The heart of the whole thing. Yeah. Levi. That's why God gives him the priesthood. Yes. He's got to have a heart for it. Amen. I often preach to the youth in my church and say it's not wrong to desire ministry, but the way many of them go about it is wrong. Not so long ago, a young man came to me with a quote. Brother Crosby said last night, remember, if you have a quote, there's another one there. So he comes to me, 42, 43 years in the message. He's only about 2 years in the message. He comes to me with a quote. The prophet says a man's ministry is only 3 years. So pastor, don't you think you've outlived that? Well, the Bible says, take not thought what you shall say. We are dedicating a church, the building, but we are dedicating you too. Yes. So I said, my brother, yes, amen to the quotation. He says, but now you are going for 43 years. It could be that you've long outlived the quote. I said, my brother, the prophet didn't say where the 3 years will be. Maybe I'm still going to the 3 years. Maybe I've just passed the 1 year, there's 2 more years to go. Yeah. How God has spread it out, it's His business.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So let's read the scripture here very slowly. Now we are not reading the Sunday Times or the Zimbabwe Chronicles or the South African Post. We are reading the Bible. The Bible is going to speak about the sin offering. The what? The sin offering. And it says over here, but if he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, this was the, let's say, the most affordable. If you were rich and you were a man of stature like the high priest, I'm going to drop a bone. When high priest sinned, God wanted the whole bull. Yeah, you got to drag it, and maybe it's in a bad mood that day, and there's no way you're going to hide the bull under your armpit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why when the minister falls, everybody hears about it.
Yeah.
But the same sin could be that one, but we hear nothing about it. Right? Because people who were, let's put it this way, not prominent, sorry to put it that way, you understand, God says, okay, turtle dove. A turtle dove, you can hide it and come to the altar. Some of you, you can hide your sins. But I had better be careful. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Crosby can't. Brother Andrew. Because for us, it's required that it be. But if he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, then he that sins shall bring for his offering there what? That's all I needed to read. Why is it that God links a certain kind of sin offering and he says 1/10? Because a little later on I'll read you a quote where the prophet says Eve only broke 1/10 in the Garden of Eden. So God is beginning to reflect that this tenth is deeper than your pound. It's deeper than your quid. It's deeper than your shilling, whatever currency you use, Malawi kwacha, South African rand, Zimbabwe what? Because South Africa is heading that way too. The point I'm making is God is signaling sin offering 1/10 because it's hidden. That in Eden, Eve didn't break all the word, just one tenth. Amen. Amen? Here's another one, brothers. He has the quote to back it up. Three kinds of believers, volume 3, number 6, page 33. The prophet says, now remember, Judas thought that he found one. He thought that he found one. Many times they think they find it, but it proves that it's not. That's make-believers, hypocrites. They are 95% on the word. So was Eve. Then he corrects the statement. He says, it was one-tenth that caused all the death and sorrow in the Garden of Eden. Look how the prophet picked up the finer points of Scripture. Then you have, today you have people who are, you know, on the internet. My question is simple. Where were you while the man was alive? Where were you when you stood in Chicago and said to 300 trained ministers,
yeah,
if I'm wrong on 1, 2, 3, come stand right here.
Yeah.
Cowards.
Amen.
They wait for a man to pass
exactly
on.
What they are.
No, they are cowards.
That's true.
And we don't even know them.
Yes, that's right.
You know why? Because they've got stuff too.
Yeah.
Worse than what they are claiming.
Yeah.
So it's the devil.
Yeah.
I call them spiritual assassins.
Yeah.
Trying to kill the men of God's character.
Mm.
Now, please give me Numbers 5:15. This one is going to be just as deep. Numbers 5:15, we read, if a man suspected that his wife had been out, we've got children, right? There were certain things that were required to prove if she be innocent or guilty. Please watch this carefully. Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring an offering for. I love that. He.
Yeah.
You see, the man still has to cover his wife. I would have thought she sinned, she. But God still says she's your wife. You bring an offering for her. Oh, say amen, somebody.
Yes.
Especially the brothers. You need to say amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
He shall bring her offering for her, that tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, suspicion, an offering of memorial, Eden. Because she fell with another man.
Amen.
Say, it's an offering of memorial. Oh, let's say amen.
Yes.
Yes. Bringing what? Iniquity to remembrance. What iniquity? Eden.
Yes.
But how much is required? One tenth.
Yeah.
And then why does God say no oil? Because brother, sister, that deed, you can't say the Holy Ghost made me do it.
Yeah.
No oil here.
Yes.
Didn't you read a quote last night, brother?
Yes.
You read a quote that if you are full of the Holy Ghost, you don't do such things.
Mm.
No frankincense. You can't say, well, it's going to make the family very happy. The house is going to smell good. No. The house is not going to smell good. Something went wrong. No frankincense, no oil. And God says, one-tenth of an ephah. My brother, give me Deuteronomy 32:30, and while you are finding it, now we enter the sphere of war to show that the one-tenth is everywhere in our lives. When you come to the area of war, God says he made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields, that's Israel, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty. Give me verse 30. 30. That's 13. 30. God bless you. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? You see, one chases 1,000, two chases 10,000. What is 1,000 over 10,000? One tenth. It's hidden.
Yeah.
It's not so much on the one and the two, it's on the amount. Yeah. One chases 1,000, two chases 10,000. Yeah. Mm. 10 upon 10,000 is 1/10. Victory. Yeah. Giving tithe is a symbol that you are delivered. Amen. Been a pastor for some time now. And it's very easy for people who make £100 to give 10. If they make £200, they give 20. But the one who makes 10,000 a month, they find it hard to give £1,000 to the Lord. You see? So what God is doing is, He's merely testing your willingness. How sincere are you? How yielded are you? What amount of revelation do you have? I'm just going to quote this one. In Judges 20, verse 10, God says, "Choose ye men to send out, 10 out of 100, 100 out of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000. What is God saying? Amen. 1/10, 1/10, 1/10, 1/10. Do you know if my brother gives me 2 Chronicles 31:16? Do you know that according to scripture and Jewish culture, which is scripture, Sunday school should really start at 3, the baby class. But because we are so modernized in COD, Brother Benham had to give us a few more years. He says, well, let the junior class begin at such and such a year. But scripturally, at the age of 3, that's when a Jewish child is taken off the breast to wean them. Not to win, to wean, to take them off the breast. Do you remember when Hannah brought Samuel to Eli? He was 3. Do you remember when Sarah spied the other chap making fun of the promised son? Why? Because he was 17 at the time and the little boy was 3. So when the party was made, he made a gesture, says the Chronicles. He was tumbling like he's playing with a little stepbrother, but he held him a certain way around the neck, and Sarah didn't miss that. Hmm? Like we were having communion back home, 2 services, most people don't go home, they bring food and then they eat, and then the children begin to play. That's when you know who watches WWF at the house. Yeah, because when your children play, they are really going to reflect what happens at the house. So while the little boys were tumbling on the grass, the one boy grabbed the other one jumped and made this. That's what the referee does, I'm told. Pastor George with a very keen old eyes and TV at the house. TV at the house. Yeah. Like one time the pastor decided to visit this family impromptu. No announcement. Just parked his car. I believe in the UK you have to make an appointment. I know why. So they can hide some things. Back in Africa we just pitch. And they're happy to see the pastor. As soon as they see the pastor, you hear the chicken go, they're slaughtering the chicken, the pastor's come. Yeah. Over here, they're hiding the grocery.
Lord have mercy.
So the pastor knocked on the door, the little boy came, opened the door. Pastor, God bless you. Where's your daddy? Oh, he's watching his favorite, it was a certain time of the day. Have mercy. Bible reading in the Message is dying out.
Amen.
Listening to tapes is dying out.
Amen.
But not among the bride.
Yes, Pastor.
God bless you. So let's read the scripture here. It says, verse 16, beside their genealogy of males, read with me, from 3 years old and upward, even unto everyone that enters into the house of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 4, you study it, now when they enter the house of the Lord, they must be 30 years of age. That's why Luke 3:23 says, Jesus being about 30 years of age.
Amen.
he went to the Jordan. Can't you see it's a mystery of the 10th? Because if they start him at 3, they are training him up to age 30. What is 3 upon 30? Say amen, somebody. Now, the medical world has come around to say, our wives, our mothers take children off the breast too quick. They are coming around to Bible scripture. Now, the medical world says a child should remain on the breast 3 years. See, you can never mock the word of God. It'll come around and back itself up. Amen? Oh, glory be to God. Now give me Daniel 9:25. We are closing the Old Testament. But we want to go gleam through the new quickly and bring the message of the hour. You'll be surprised that the mystery of the 1/10 isn't money leaving your pocket. It's deeper than that. Watch now the prophecy of Daniel 9:25. In Daniel is told that God is going to visit the Jewish nation, and in a period of 70 weeks, how God breaks it up, that's his business. But the total amount of weeks will be 70. And then Israel will be fully redeemed. But watch how God begins it. He says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment out there in Iran, Iraq, to restore and to build Jerusalem up to when the Messiah, the Prince, shall come. What is the first amount there? 7 of how many weeks? 70. What is 7 over 70? So the beginning of the redemption is indicated as 1/10 of the total amount of time. Can you see that 1/10 signifies restoration? Let's come quickly and read Amos 5 verse 3. I'll just read and cross over to the new. In Amos 5 verse 3, remember that Israel was taken into captivity in the days of Jeremiah. Then after Jeremiah comes your Daniel, your minor prophets, you know, Zerubbabel, the prince, Nehemiah. You spoke about being short yesterday. Let me take up for you. You ain't short at all. There's somebody shorter than you. It's called Nehemiah. That one you cannot see behind the pulpit. Nehemiah. At least we could see you last night. Let's give our brother a round of applause. But there is another one shorter than that. He's called so-and-so the shoe height. But I love God. He has them all in the ministry. He's got the tall ones, the short ones, the lean ones, the stocky ones. We are all there doing the Father's business. He knows why. We need some of them to look like Brother Crosby so that some of you must fear. Because if you tackle a man like this, you must be sure that you are going to win. And then we need somebody like Brother Andrew, because if you are a little and you're trying to get to the pastor, you won't reach him, he's up there. We need them all. For thus said the Lord God, the city, that's Jerusalem, that went out by 1,000 shall leave. What is 100 over 1,000? Can you see that? And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of the Lord. God is saying, I'll always have my remnant. One tenth. So 1/10 can be a remnant. 1/10 is restoration. 1/10 is the holiest of holies. 1/10 is that bread. Quickly now we come into the New Testament. Oh my. But before we do, how can I not close with the book of Malachi? We all know the scripture in Malachi. Behold, remember Moses, but I'll send you who? And then he shall turn the what? The heart. It does not say turn the hearts. We may preach it like that, but when you read it, can you give it to us, my brother? Malachi 4 verse 6, because some people need to see that it reads, and he shall turn the heart. You know why it says heart singular? Because in Hebrew, any human heart, no matter how large you may be, how small, whatever, All hearts, adult hearts, are one-tenth of a sephirot.
Wow.
I'm going to let that sink.
Yes.
All adult human hearts are one-tenth of a sephirot. So when God says, I shall turn the heart, oh, he's talking to the bride, brother.
Yeah.
Because the way he designed your heart and the way he designed mine. One-tenth of a sephirot. Now we come into the new. And Jesus comes and he says in Matthew 5:18, heaven and earth shall pass away, right? But this word, not a jot nor a tittle. That word jot is Hebrew. You see, in Hebrew you don't have a J, you have a Y. You don't say Jeriel, my second name. You say Yeriel. You don't say Joshua, you say Yehoshua. Yahshua. So when Jesus said, not a single jot, not one jot. Jot is the 10th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it equals 10. So if Jesus says, not even one tenth. Not even one jot. Verily, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one tenth. Or one tittle, not title, tittle. What are tittles? Little apostrophes, commas, colons and semicolons, hyphens and forward slashes, they are called tittles. Guess what? Of all the tittles in the Hebrew language, there are 27. And all the books in the New Testament are 27, from Matthew to Revelation. Yod, Old Testament. Tittle, New Testament. Everything in there, I will fulfill, saith the Lord. Watch this. How many of you have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Well, I do, because Jesus said, pray thus. I'm not against you praying, Lord, give me a Lamborghini. Some prayers go like that. That's all right. You have a right to ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask. But I'm saying now, if one wants to prescribe a kind of prayer, the Lord said, pray thus, our Father. I wish I had another hour. Why does it begin with our? No, why doesn't it say, my Father? God would be introducing selfishness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's not your Father, he's my Father. God knows us, we are children. So even though you are praying alone, yet you start the prayer in the plural. Because God wants you at the back of your mind to know you are not the only pebble on the beach.
Yes.
I have other children too.
Yes. My.
Oh, Father. And also when you take it a little deeper, it's because in Genesis there is another Father. Yeah. So now we are making distinction that we are praying to our Father, not the other Father in the Garden of Eden. Oh, that is another aspect. Three quotations are found where Brother Branham says serpent seed physically is on the earth today, because some brothers want to spiritualize it. Prophet says no, they are walking the streets of Jeffersonville today. If you go to Burger King, McDonald's, and you order a triple burger, somebody next to you says triple burger also. You say with Coke, they say with Coke. One is serpent seed, the other one is elect. There's no way you're going to know, because they are in every nation. The prophet says, the word will tell who's who. That's why Paul is very careful. He says, be careful with ancestry. We all sometimes are tempted to want to know. Paul says, be careful with genealogy, because if you overstretch it and you go back and you pass the 1940s and you go back to the 1930s and the 1920s and you keep going and then you pass the year zero and you go to minus and you go in and then finally you're in the Garden of Eden, you might be surprised. Who you find standing there waiting for you, saying, hello. That's why Paul said, be careful with what? Endless genealogy. Amen. So the Lord's Prayer, brothers and sisters, I've prayed it since I was a boy, never knew the meaning behind it. The Lord's Prayer, all of it in Matthew. When you say amen, when you what? Say amen, you've prayed 66 words. How many books of the Bible do you have? The Lord's Prayer in Matthew is a summary of the entire Bible. And when you go to the tabernacle plan, you have your candlestick. God says, I want knobs. When you count those knobs and the middle ones together, 66 knobs.
Wow.
See? So the Lord's Prayer, brother, is deeper than just our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. The way we used to pray as children. You are praying the entire Bible. But the part that always makes me stop is when I have to say, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive. Right there. I don't just pass. Because you are lying if you cannot forgive. Because you are saying to God, by the same measure I forgive me also. That's why the Bible says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, you're still holding a grudge against your mother, your mother-in-law, poor mothers-in-law. You're holding a grudge against the deacon, the pastor, and you come to church. God cannot be fooled. So the Lord's Prayer, let's not go too far with it, because, you know, any angle a minister takes is blessed. But you want to stay with the thought. The Lord's Prayer has been designed of God to run in 10 cycles. Our Father, one cycle, which is in heaven. You see, he that cometh to God must believe that he
is.
Can't pray to a past tense God. You should have been here last night if you missed. God is here on earth, in the bride, in this tabernacle. As much as we are dedicating this one this morning, the greater dedication is this one. This is a natural building, but God has moved. He's in this one. And we thank him for this one. There are 10 cycles in the Lord's Prayer. So listen very carefully. And in God's prophetic calendar, there are 30 days in a month. So if you pray one cycle for 3 days, by the time you say amen, you've prayed the whole prayer for a month. Oh, let me repeat. There are... My school teacher, English teacher, how can I forget her? She used to say, George, you must never use the word repeat and again together. Yeah. I repeat again. Oh, I've got to hide him for that. She says, no, the word repeat does mean again. So either you say, I'll say it again, or I repeat. But since I've been listening to the prophet, my English is gone. I've come to learn another English called emphasis. Brother Benham says, I'll repeat it again. I said, amen. It's emphasis now. So some things we have to repeat again. Yeah, God is so good. Look at the time. You know, when you're in eternity, you don't feel it. But I promise you, I shall be amazingly short tonight, because the prophet of God says, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached only 30 minutes. Well, that's not opposing Paul, who preached the whole night. You have to find yourself somewhere in between. So George Martin is safe because he's somewhere between Peter and Paul. Yeah, I'm not against brothers who want to preach all night the scripture. The only warning I have, Pastor, is if a brother wants to preach the whole night, he had better make sure he's got the power of the resurrection. But some people are going to fall from their chairs or fall from the loft or something. So I'm not against you. Go ahead. But I want to make sure that if I die in your service, because you went the whole night, I'll be up again saying, praise the Lord. Oh, brother, in 42, 43 years, we've seen it all. We had a brother come from somewhere in Africa. I never say what country, who, because I'm not here to disparage any man of God. But this brother went for 4.5 hours. We had forgotten his title by the time he closed the service. Even the scripture he read, I'm not lying. My wife is here as a witness. And then he did something very silly, this brother. somewhere in the 3 hours, he dropped the Bible and he stepped on it. He said, I'm standing on the word. I'm standing on the word. And then a quote flashed through my mind where Brother Benham would not even put his glasses on top of the Bible. A man gave Brother Benham a book, and Brother Benham, you know, talking, took the book and put it in the Bible, and I've got a quote. The angel of the Lord stepped and said, remove that book from the Bible. Why? Anything you put on top of the Bible, you are saying it's on top of the word. And this brother goes and stands on the Bible and says, I'm standing on the word. I'm honest. I never invited him back. No, I'm very honest. And it was a few months, maybe 2 months after he had preached, we heard he was voted out from his church for certain silly things associated with anointing widows with oil. You see, many are on the premises of the message, few are on the promises. I'm going to close in a while. Now, this one I ought not to read, though. It's very glaringly evident. Jesus says in Luke 15, a woman had how many pieces of silver? And she lost? Say amen, somebody. You see, Jesus continues with the mystery of the one tenth, that all that was lost, all that Eve lost, all that the church lost, is one tenth. Then Jesus says, 10 lepers came to be prayed for. How many came back? Can you see 1/10? So Christ is saying, in the deeper meaning of it, I will not lose 1/10 of all that the Father has given me. So now it goes into election, predestination, seventh seal. And I've often wondered who this one was that came back. I did some research because I love to know. Who is this man's name? Who is this man that came back to say, Lord, thank you? Until Jesus said, well, there are not 10. Why is it one of the 10 that's come back to say thank you? And I found out that his name is George Martin.
Amen.
Crosby Malika.
Yeah.
Andrew Murray. Yeah. You and you and you and you, Sister Portia Martin, Sister Flo, Sister Gitana, you see, in that teaching, God is saying, mine will come back.
Yes.
Did not Paul say in the last days they'll be unthankful?
Yes.
But we are being thankful. We are the 1/10.
Yes.
Give me Luke 19, my brother, 16 and 18. Luke 19, we're in the land of the pound. And look how your currency, you know why your currency is still the strongest? Because your currency is the only one in the Bible. The Bible doesn't speak of the rand, the dollar. Luke 19, the Bible says, verse 16, then came the first one saying, Lord, thy pound has gained how many?
10 pounds.
What is 1/10? 1/10. Give me verse 18, you will see the mystery of the penalty. And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained. Is that 1/10, 1/5? If you omit to give your tithes on time, you must add a penalty of 1/5. And I can see some of them playing ignorant. I don't know what it means. I'll work it out for you. If your tithes this morning must be 20 pounds, 20 pounds. And you're not giving it today because you ran out of fuel or the baby needed milk. I don't know what your reasons are. People come with fantastic reasons. Pastor, I couldn't come to church today because when I woke up, I found an elephant on my hood. I couldn't start the car. Silly examples like those. So if you give your tithes later than the day you should give it, you add 1/5. What is 1/5 of 20? 4 pounds, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then, next Sunday, before the other tithes, you must give 24 pounds. Mm. Penalty.
Yeah.
Then make sure that at the end of the month you give those tithes on time or else penalty again.
Yeah.
But you're going to see it's deeper than penalty money.
Amen.
Let's just go quickly and close. So can you see one-tenth, one-fifth? It's scripture from the Old Testament. And I've just said why your currency is the strongest. It's in the Bible. Pound. Jesus, as we know, ministered 3 years. We know Brother Benham does say 3.5. But there are places where he says 3, so you have to be able to balance both statements. Let's make it, break it down for you. Jesus says in a parable, I've come seeking fruit from this tree for 3 years. That tree is Israel. And there he's revealing that his ministry was 3 years to them. But I have found none, as our brother preached last night. What he was looking for was speak the word. We are going to have to be very truthful. There are quotes where Brother Bam says the prayer line is not even in the Bible. But we use them. He had them too. But he says, actually, when you bring the church to perfection, speak the word. And he teaches us that the gift of discernment that his was not the gifts of discernment. Brother Bam's one was gift. Exclusive. So I cannot agree with any brother who tries to come with something and tries to make it like you are dealing with eagles here.
Amen.
Go ahead if you want to. But you see, I love what Brother McKinstry said. He says, we don't follow signs. Amen. Signs follow us.
Amen.
We had this brother in our church. He was doing something. First he was doing something and he slipped. He fell, and then he thought, I'm okay. And then the next day he was washing his car with water on the whatever. He slipped again. There he was paralyzed. One of our elders goes to hospital, lays there. How many months, Portia? 5? 5 months on his back, you can't move. They release him. They say, look, we're going to have to come to your house and break down the door and make a ramp, and you're going to spend the rest of your life in this push chair, whatever. Before that, I says, oh no, on a service like this, the brother is in a wheelchair sitting in the back.
Yeah.
An anointing came down.
Hallelujah.
Believe me, pastors are going to say amen. You feel it.
Yeah.
And I was not going to have a prayer line or call the brother up. I just said, bring him here.
Amen.
I could feel, pastors, I could feel my church go, you feel it. Unbelief. As they were bringing him, I said, church, we are far up the ladder now.
Yes.
Do you believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
We cannot replace Brother Benham, don't get me wrong.
No.
We cannot substitute him.
No.
But that same God says, here, there, there, there. The third pool has to manifest before it manifests fully.
Yeah.
We must begin to have foretastes.
Mm.
I said, my brother, you walk. As I preach, gone is the wheelchair. Gone is that, what do you call it, those walking? Yeah, gone. Doctors called him in and said, what happened? He says, I was prayed for. They said, but it was impossible for you to walk. He said, who do you think is standing before you there? I'm standing before you walking. Hallelujah! So that is an answer to those that say, where are the miracles in the bride? They are happening. You are just too busy with Manchester United and Man City. Yeah, I know. I've been in the UK now 2 months. My eyes are open. I can see what keeps brothers and sisters very busy. This afternoon we will read you a quote, I'm not far from closing, where the prophet says, when he saw the part of the bride, 2 or 3 of them at the back that were getting out of line, we have to say it. He says it was German or somewhere near there. Europe. Church in Europe, let's buckle up. Let's buckle up, church in Europe. Yeah. I attend weddings too since I'm here. And I might as well take the liberty from my pastor here to allow me to say, have you noticed our weddings?
Yeah.
How our sisters are dressing? Have you noticed that we are leaving the vision?
Yeah.
Have you noticed some musics that are being played at weddings?
Amen.
We are leaving the vision.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
In the jives.
And the jive's my brother. Amen. I'll read the quote this afternoon.
Amen.
Where the prophet says, sisters in the vision were moving the lower part of the body from side to side. And it's happening in message churches.
Amen.
It's Genesis 3.
Amen.
Have mercy, Lord.
Amen.
I'm sorry if I've overstepped my limits.
Hallelujah.
But let's move on and close. So Jesus' ministry was 3 years. So where does the 3.5 come from? Brother Benham in one place says, John took the 6 months.
Yes.
You see? He says the ministry of John is the continuation of Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is John.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus in John. John introducing Jesus. It's a paradox.
Yes.
But it's the same God. So when you add Jesus and John, it's 3.5. But Jesus per se, if he's born April, as the prophet says, he's 30. The next year, April, is 31. The next year, April, is 32. The third year, April, is 33.
Yeah.
He's crucified April time.
Yeah.
So if you want to put 3.5 years, he's crucified somewhere in October, you've left the scriptures.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So if they start at 3, as I said a while ago, being trained, Sunday school, etc., and then at 30 they enter the ministry, it's 1/10 again. Quickly. How many were in the upper room? 120. Is that right?
Yeah.
How many stood outside to witness? It says Peter, and then stood Peter and the 11.
Yeah.
So 12 were outside. What is 12 over 120?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ah, we are moving now. We are moving quickly. Watch.
Amen.
The prophet of God is criticized as we speak today. And I'm going to close not far from here. But before we get to the prophet being criticized, the prophet is careful to tell us that in Acts 19:7 it's recorded, my brother, can you give it to us, that the church at Ephesus was the most spiritual church of all the churches Paul established.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, and all the men were about how many?
12.
It means 12, when you compare them to what happened in the upper room, the Ephesian church was 1/10 of what happened in the upper room.
My
hallelujah!
Amen.
We heard last night, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by?
Amen.
Do you know that we hear in decibels?
Yes.
And what is the meaning of decibel? 1/10.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. You see? We hear in 1/10. Because 1/10 is going to be the bride. Oh, that's why Enoch, in his generations, from Adam to Noah, is 10 generations. And in 10 generations, only Enoch was raptured. 1/10. Abraham, yes, father of faith, 10 generations. The only one that God says now, here's a man after my heart. My friend, Abram was a 1/10. Rebecca, the Bible says, how many camels were sent to fetch her? She didn't come back riding all of them, Brother George Keshaw. She rode one of? The bride is a 1/10. How many of you Bible readers know that Laban, the brother, is today Lebanon. With our last trip now, we came very close to the border to point to the wells where Eliezer found it. Because if you speak a little Hebrew, Beer Laharoi, Beer is not kakala kakala kakala. In Hebrew, Beer means well. Right? One well, Beer Laharoi, the well of him that always sees me. So if in Hebrew you have one well, you say Beer. If it's plural, you say Beirut, Beirut. Rebecca came from the area of Beirut. That's why the country is called Lebanon, because the brother was Liban. Lebanon. If you read the scriptures, they pleaded, please, let's delay her for 10 days. The man of God says, please, do not hinder me.
Yeah.
So somewhere in the required 10 days, they left. One of the 10 days they required, she left.
Amen.
She's a 1/10, my brother.
Yeah.
She's a 1/10. Joseph, before Benjamin is born, One brother said over 10, the father says, keep an eye on them. Isn't that the Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, Moses led them how many years in the wilderness? 40 years. After how many years in bondage? 400. What is 40 over 400? Oh, my goodness. God said in Deuteronomy 23, for 10 generations, I don't want a Moabite coming into my sanctuary. But we see Ruth coming out. Why? She was one out of 10 generations. That was admitted. She was a one-tenth. And I love the story of Ruth. I wish I had another hour. What was Boaz before he found Ruth? Ruthless. Brother Branham says, Elisha had to follow Elijah for 10 years to fit the garment.
Yeah.
One convert following Elijah for 10 years, one tenth. No more time. But if you read the record of how the sons of Jacob are born, and you count from last going back to Reuben, Levi is the tenth when you count backwards. That's why God says one tenth must go to the Levite. David had many a warrior. They were graded according to bravery. From the thousands, they come into 300, and then he had 30 over 300. What is 30 over 300? Then he took 30 and graded them. Then he had the last three. They are the ones who went to fetch water for him.
Amen.
What is 3 over 30? 110. That's why the scripture says in Nehemiah 10:38. Now this is going to scrub somebody a little the other way around, but it's part of the message. In Nehemiah, the Bible says, tithe of tithes. Now it's getting narrower.
Yeah.
Now it wants tithe of tithes. Pergamian Church, age 171, paragraph. The prophet says, now I want to close with this. From the little group of the true word.
Yeah.
That's not denomination.
Amen.
Come on now, let's sober up.
Amen.
From the little group of the true seed word. God will present Christ with the beloved bride.
Yeah.
It's getting narrower. So it's no longer enough to be sitting in a message church.
Yeah.
Is the message in you?
Because
everywhere where message churches are, it's that little group of the true seed word. But he says from there.
Yeah.
God is going to call for a tithe of tithes. Albert Einstein. Many of you uni students, you know about him. You know what he said? Right here he says, the capacity of the brain that we use today is only one-tenth.
Yeah.
Where's the other 9/10? It's waiting for you in your glorified body.
Yeah.
For the Bible says we know in part, one-tenth. But that day we shall know as we are known.
Yeah.
So if God can give you one-tenth and release 200,000 demons, and you defeat them with one tenth.
Amen.
Give yourself a round of applause.
Yeah.
Why? God has put so much confidence that he said to the devil, you know what? If I let you challenge them with 10/10, they'll just wipe you off like you are nothing. But I'll prove to you that my seed is a comeback seed.
Yeah.
I'll take away 9/10. I'll let them bypass the theophany. I'll put them in a body of sin, brother. Oh, aye, aye, aye. Body of sin. I'll trap them in a body of sin and I'll just put one tenth and I'll let you loose. And here you are, victorious. Brother Benham, if you know, was the first child of 10 in the family. Huh? Say amen, somebody.
Yeah.
And the very Brother Branham, who was a one-tenth, so loved God that he wanted to give 9/10 of his tithes. God says, no. Just give 1/10. You know why? He did have violated the scriptures.
Yeah.
Though his motive was correct, God says, no, that's all right, my servant. I know you love me. But just give 1/10, because there's a line in the scriptures that the 1/10 is you, the bride. I'll read a quote before I close. That's why in Psalms 90 verse 10, it says God gives us how many years? 70. Right? And then in the indictment, Brother Branham says every 7 years our lives change.
Yeah.
So what is 7/70? So our lives change in 1/10. The Indian chief, Brother Benham is hunting with the Indian chief. Letting of the pressure, 1962 May. Yeah. The Indian chief says, hey, slow down, preacher. He says, preacher, you hunt too fast. You scare game away. Do like Indian. Walk him once and watch him how many times?
9 times.
Yeah. So of the 10 techniques of hunting, watch him 1 time. 1/10. It's beautiful. Now let's read that much-awaited quote that started this entire inspiration. Oh my God, this is where it started. Because people love to ask the preacher, how did this thought come to you? Some of it we research, but some of it just comes purely from heaven. Here's a quote you must never forget. It comes out of Images of Christ. Images of Christ. Listen to the title alone. Images of who? Now, who's that? The bride. In Images of Christ, and it's Jeffersonville, Indiana, 590525, paragraph 56, 10 minutes we close. He says, you are God. We are happy to know that you promised, you God, you promised that you would have a remnant when you return to the earth. Regardless of what goes or comes, there's going to be people that's going to be ready. And we know that there is a tithing that man gives to God. He stops. And we also know that there is a tithing amongst the people. We would say then, a tenth of all the world's harvest through the ages will be that elected that's been called. Give God the glory. That's the quote that started it for me. I said, what? So all the believers from the beginning till the end, when God harvests us for the wedding supper, he says, we'll just be a tenth. No wonder God says, the tenth is mine. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. But in the super sign, he says, when he sends that messenger, that's himself, he says, but he gave a super sign. So that only about 1/10 of them would believe. Wow, look what people say. Oh, this William Branham, he's hyperbolic. He suffers from hyperbole. He overemphasizes. He exaggerates. You know where they try to nail the prophet? They say, quote, go away, Jesus. Volume 17, number 9, 1963. The prophet says, down at that river some 33 years ago, or 34, standing on the banks of the Ohio River, there at the bridge. They're trying to say it never happened. It happened. It happened in this sense that as they were putting those pillars that span... Before you put the span that carries the bridge, you put those pillars in the water. So as they were pouring the concrete into those pillars and they were trying to connect the span, 16 men slipped, fell into the river, but into the pillars. They were encrusted immediately. No wonder there's no newspaper report. Because the argument is, where are the papers? Where's the report? No, they were encrusted with the cement, quick, dry cement. Where do you get that, Brother George? A man is still alive that was on that project.
Amen.
See, God always has a witness.
Yeah.
How do you think the story of Samson bringing down the pillars is recorded? If all of them died. No, you forget there was a little boy.
Amen.
Yeah, there was a little boy who led him to the pillars, and before Samson pushed, he told that boy, escape with your life.
Amen.
The same way Naaman got to hear that there is a prophet in Israel. God always has a witness.
Amen.
God bless your heart.
Amen.
Then they tried to nail the prophet Isaiah at the Ohio River. Here he says, 5,000 people gathered on the banks, and I was baptizing 500. Some people left the tabernacle for this statement. They said, no, there were not 5,000 people. He wasn't baptizing 500. They forget the language.
Amen.
What is 500 over 5,000? What is he saying? I was baptizing bride members. Give God the glory. Hallelujah! Amen. Don't you come and mess with my prophet.
Amen.
He speaks on a level that throws off the intellectuals.
Amen.
Another one. Brother Benham keeps saying, 700 didn't bow the knee.
Amen.
The scripture says 7,000.
Yeah.
But he keeps saying 700. One question and answers comes in. Brother Benham, did you mean to say 7,000? He says, yes. 3 minutes down the line, he says 700. Why? Because 700 over 7,000 is? He's telling you today, not numbers there. Today the bride will not bow the knee to the Roman system. Last but not least, the prophet of God says, when Los Angeles goes down 1/10 in trying to do God a service, volume 4, number 8, paragraph 184, it says, science says 1/10 of the earth is ready to slide into the ocean. 1/10. Why? When 1/10 slides down, another 1/10 slides up.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Did you know Revelation 10 has got 11 verses? I'm going to close. Revelation 10 has got 11 verses, but if you go back and read it, the first verse, end. I saw a mighty angel. Starts with an end. Teach us in English. They'll tell you don't start a sentence with a conjunction. But my God does.
Amen.
And he had a right book in his hand. And he stood with one foot. And until verse 11. But there's only one verse of all the verses that starts with a but. You know what? God knows man. God knows the sound of voices can put you to sleep. If I preach like this, 1/10 is the mystery of God revealed. It's in the Garden of Eden and in Eve. By the time I'm 30 minutes down the line, most of you will be asleep. So God knows how to modulate the voice. So watch, I'm demonstrating Revelation 10. And verse 2, and. Brother, can you put it up, please? Let me prove a point. Please, give me 5 more minutes. Pastor, is that all right?
Amen, amen.
Give me Revelation 10. Let me make a point here before I let you go. And, give me verse 2. And, give me verse 3. And, give me verse 4. And, 5. And, 6. Give me 8. And, 9. And 10, 11, see, give me verse 7.
Hallelujah.
But.
Amen.
You see, God knows that of all the verses, and. But what?
Hallelujah.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it begins to sound, the mystery of God will be revealed. So do you see that verse 7 is one verse over the other 10? Give God the praise. Verse 7 is one verse over the other 10. That's the part that catches the bride's attention. God bless you. When Israel fought their war in 1967, Syria came with 3,000 tanks and Israel had only 300. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
What is 300 over 3,000? You know, inflation is worldwide. Petrol goes up, comes down, but it never really goes down, down, down. They just fluctuate a few cents. But inflation is up everywhere. Petrol is up, percentage. Food is up percentage, clothes percentage, utilities, water, lights, gas. God is so faithful, his percentage is still 1/10. God is the only one who says, no matter what, just give 10%. Don't you love him? All right. So look at me skipping some of these things. But last but not least, here goes. So. if God is saying all this while that one tenth is a mystery of the bride, then who are the offerings? 144,000. We are the tithe. God is going to slot in the 144, because they are going to be in the millennium, says the prophet. But they are not raptured with you. They are raptured with those two prophets when they ascend. They are that cloud that you see around the two prophets. The prophet says, there's your offering also coming into the millennium. But now, who are the penalties? Who gets penalized? Foolish virgins. Is that right? They pay the penalty by going to the tribulation. Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, do you know that science says your eye, the speed of your eye's twinkle is one tenth of a second? Can you see the bride, one tenth, disappearing under the mystery of a twinkle, which is also one tenth? Pastor has asked me to dedicate this building as we dedicate this building. I trust that the message one tenth has dedicated you first. Shall we stand to our feet then for a short prayer of dedication? Maybe what I'll then do, I'll ask Pastor and Brother Crosby to also come up, and we hold hands, and then we pray to dedicate this building. Come up, Pastor, precious brother. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord,
we stand as laborers in the same field.
Thank you.
The harvest is ripe. And the laborers are few.
Amen.
But these few are holding hands saying, Lord,
amen,
give us a partnership that is eternal.
Yes.
Lord, as we dedicate this building,
yes,
Lord, as we invite you to make your abode,
yes,
take every corner of this building,
yes,
every nook, every cranny, every niche, and not only the building, Lord,
yes,
but also ourselves as a building. We dedicate ourselves to you. And we say, welcome, welcome, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. May all who enter this building, saved or unsaved, sense the presence of the Lord. And those who are unsaved, may they never walk out as they walked in. May they walk out convicted, looking and seeking for the God who then will be dwelling in this place. Continue to refill, to re-baptize us with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thus we dedicate this place.
Yes, Lord.
And our dear pastor and his family, bless them in a special way. Brother Crosby and his family, and all other ministering brethren who may be in the audience, may they be blessed also in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
I think there's only one song you could really sing. One of them.
Amen.
Aren't you glad to say you're one of them?
My
predestination is such a powerful thing, friends.
Yes.
I love that scripture that he'll have a tithing of the people.
Amen.
You know, that's the precious portion. Of all of the harvest of the earth, he has his tithe.
Yes.
And friends, he gathers them under the auspices of his voice. He gathers you to himself. Let's sing that song. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. We just invite the musicians to come. One of them, one of them. They were gathered in the upper room and there were some preaching outside. There were some who were the worshippers. There were some that were the ministers. But they were all part of the one of them. Aren't you glad to be in that number? And who are these people? What is the song saying? Their hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost. You know, you don't have to crank the one of them. You don't have to force them. There's something inside of them because they're the tithings of the people. They're God's portion. You know, there's just his attributes there. As we sing this, as it's a dedication of ourselves as much as the building, as we say, don't you want to be this kind of a people? To be one of them. One of them. One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Hallelujah. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made me. Burning now within my heart, oh, the Jesus. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I am one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that I can say I'm. Aren't you glad you can say you are one of them? One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Saints go marching in. I'm going to be in that number. Is that your profession? Is that what you really believe? I believe it, friends. He's been so good. You think inside of your life the times you've let him down. He's always been there. Times when you thought you couldn't go on anymore, he was there. Times when you thought it's not worth it anymore, he revived you again. Why? Because you're one of his. And when he comes back, when those saints go marching in, I'm going to be in that number.
I'm a pilgrim, a stranger, wandering through this world of sin.
the saints, swing low, sweet chariot. Coming forth to carry on. Let's just keep watering the camels. Let's just keep watering those camels. Friends, what the Lord has sent to us, He's given us all that we need. All the bride needs is in the books and tapes. Friends, there's an anointing in the message. It's swung low in this age. It's been unveiled. It's been broken to the bride. And you just keep watering your soul with those living waters, that anointing that's been given. That's the chariot that's been sent to carry us home. He sent us these camels in our day because we're the tithings of His people. Let's sing that song.
Oh, sweet Lord, sweet child.
Gathered into that Ghana beyond the curtain of time. There's many friends waiting there. Imagine, just Brother Perry Green just passed over recently. There's so many that have just passed over. Time is moving on. The Bible says you should number your days. The portion that is given us on earth. Let's sing one more. Let's sing, there'll be peace in the valley for me someday. Is that not wonderful? It's leading us to that portion, that land of perfect peace.
So we
oh yeah.
comments as we close things. Sister Noella is requesting prayer. She's traveling to Belgium with the children this week. May the Lord bless on her journey. Just want to ask you one question with your head bowed. You know, we're singing about peace in the valley. Remember Brother Crosby once speaking of a message he had preached 5 years from today. 5 years from now, where will you be? The current course of your life. The current condition of your soul. Ask yourself a question now. As we speak about dedicating a place to the Lord or dedicating ourselves, ask yourself the way that things are going inside of your life. Where will you be 5 years from today? Where will you be 50 years from today? Where will we all be 100 years from today? We're going to be somewhere, friends. You're going to be just as alert, even more so than you are today. Just as conscious. You're going to have memories. You're going to think back. If things aren't going the way that they should, why don't you dedicate yourself today? Why don't you say, Lord, I just want to come and I want to lay myself upon the altar today. I don't like the way that things are going. I don't like the company that I'm caught up in. I don't like the things that I see inside of my life. Where is this going to lead me to? Because friends, to the believers, this world is the worst that we're ever going to go through. But to the unbeliever, this is the best that an unbeliever is ever going to experience. But it can change today. Just inside of your heart, as we close in a word of prayer, as you just lift your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, let there be a from that time. Let there be a change even now. Because the word repent means to change. To change your mind. That you think in a certain way and you're making decisions down a certain channel. And then the Lord visits you and He warns you and He speaks to you. And you, by an act of your own will inside of your heart, you make a conscious decision. I don't want to go this way anymore. I don't want my life to go in this direction. Why don't you dedicate yourself to the Lord? You may look back and say, I've made a lot of wrong decisions. You know, I've made mistakes inside of my life. That's fine. Learn from them. But dedicate yourself in your heart and say, Lord, take those things and let them be stepping stones, not stumbling blocks in my experience. And God will bless them. Whatever your desire, just raise it up inside your heart to the Lord as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, never a single regret for anything that we dedicate to you. Because anything we give to you, it's an investment, Lord. Oh, Father, when we redeem the time, how blessed that it is. Father, when we lay ourselves upon the altar, when you give of ourselves, if you give of the things that you've given to us, Father, it's an investment, Lord. You said, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, running over. And Father, that's been the experience of our life. Time dedicated to you, Father, it's eternity. Oh, Father, it's time without end. Lord, a life that's given to you is a life without end. It's a life, Lord, that we give it to you now and we gain it in the world to come. So, Father, I'm praying for every soul that's here upon this day. Even as we speak of dedicating this place, Father, we thank you that you've given us this place. Father, we thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters that you've given us in this place. We thank you for ministry in this place. We thank you for your presence that visits us in this place. We thank you for your manifestation and your acts and the things that you do in this place. But Father, we want to dedicate ourselves to you. Father, I'm thinking of some of our young people, Lord, that are in the valley of decision even today. I'm asking of you, Lord, that you would speak, Father, even when the preacher would be silent, Lord. You are the only one that can speak to the soul, Father. You are the only one. Father, when you spoke to John and you said, come up higher. Father, he came up higher. When you spoke to the fishermen on the shores of Galilee and says, come and follow me. Father, they left their nets and they followed you. Won't you speak unto souls upon this day? We know that it's not in the power of the persuasion of a man. But we know it's the power of your voice. It's the power of your call. And Father, as you're calling and seeking, Lord, for that which was lost, seek upon this day, Father, we pray. Speak, Lord, to the souls of your people. Father, because there's a tithing of the people. Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy upon our lives, for your goodness, Lord. We just want to worship you and thank you and appreciate upon this day and just want to dedicate ourselves unto thee afresh, Lord. And
Father, I just want to gird up the loins. Father, I just want to, Lord, be strong and very courageous to go forth in your precious name, Lord. You've taken us through every obstacle, Lord. You've taken us through every Red Sea. Every time the devil thought he had the upper hand, Lord, how faithful that you've been. Oh, Father, we thank you for your goodness upon this day. We do pray for our sister Noella, Lord, and the children, even as they would travel. Give them a blessed time, Lord. Father, bless them when they bless their journey. May they be a blessing. May they receive a blessing. May they come back, Lord, testifying of your goodness. May you bless them, we pray. And Father, our brother George has preached so faithfully upon this day. Bless him with the riches of your blessings, we pray, Lord. Father, guide his footsteps. Lead him and guide him. Bless his precious wife as well, Lord. Minister to his needs at this time, we pray. Open up doors to him, Lord. Guide his footsteps. Father, you be the one who goes before him day by day. And as we'd have a short break, Father, be with us. Bless the food that we shall partake of, Lord. Sanctify it to our bodies, Lord, we'd pray. And bring us back into your house by your grace this afternoon, Lord. And speak unto us, Lord. Commune with us, Lord. Because we find ourselves in you. Father, you are our purpose and our reason for being. Father, outside of thee, Lord, who are we?
Hallelujah.
But in thee, Father, we find that you are all in all. Amen. Father, so we dedicate this short gap to you now. Bring us back with your peace. Bless the musicians. Bless the song leader. Bless, Lord, each officer, Lord. Bless each brother and sister that has contributed, Lord, to make these meetings a success. We pray, Lord, bless them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Saints, let's just have a short break. Let's come back in at 3 o'clock.